The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your being and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers. As he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, they stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, but when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he lifted him up on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, 'Take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back.' Which of these 3, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim?" He answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Like a lot of kids, when I was growing up, I asked my parents a lot of questions. Some were typical, like on a road trip, I'd ask, "Are we there yet?" I had some silly questions. I remember asking at one point on the farm, "Why don't we have tails like the cows do?" There were some profound ones. I remember asking mom and dad, "What does eternity feel like?" That got them tongue-tied. And sometimes they could tell that I wasn't asking the right question or the most important question. So it may have been true that many times at night I would sit down and do a homework assignment, but they could tell that the question I was asking was, "How can I get this homework done as soon as possible?" When really the more important question was, "How can I master the material? How can I gain and knowledge and even wisdom?" This idea of asking questions is pertinent because in the gospel today, the scholar of the law asks Jesus what I would argue is one of the most important questions that any of us could ever ask. What must I do to gain eternal life? Reveals a desire for eternal life, which is good. And it may surprise you, but I would say while that is a very important question, it's not the most important question he should be asking. Because the question he asks, "What must I do?" implies that the God who I am serving could be appeased by accomplishing the checklist. What must I do? If I do this, this, and this, then I'm in. And that's a mistaken idea of how God operates, but who he is. So, more fundamentally, the important question is something like, what is God like? Or who is God? And what's incredible, which is just so beautiful, that the Lord Jesus, in this most famous parable, the Good Samaritan, answers all those questions. He answers the question of who's my neighbor, which is the follow-up question, which the text says that he asks that to justify himself. His desire is to, in some ways, shrink or minimalize who qualifies as my neighbor. It would be really nice if it was just my next-door neighbor or maybe two doors down or the select group I choose. But Jesus answers in this parable, it is universal. It is anybody that I encounter that is in need, they automatically qualify under that category of my neighbor. But the other question that's more fundamental, he answers that question too. Because and this is from St. Augustine, the story of the Good Samaritan is actually our story. You see, because of our pride, our disobedience, our negligence even, we've gone down the wrong road. And in the process of sin, the evil one has robbed us of divine grace. And we're left wounded, incapable of arriving at the destination we set out to go. And instead of remaining at a distance, instead of being on the other side of the road, the Lord Jesus draws near to us. The Son of God took on human flesh. He entered into this world to address our wounds. And the text symbolically says that the Good Samaritan pours oil and wine on the wounds, revealing that Christ wishes to address those wounds and restore us to full strength through those sacraments that he has provided in and through his church. And while gaining strength, he carries us into the inn of the church where we can gain full restoration. This is our story, and this answers the question, what is God like? He is not off in the distance checking the to-do list. God is interested in the commandments. Says as much here. Let's start with that. The foundational, fundamental. But he goes further. I want everything. I want your heart. And I'm willing to draw near to you to make that happen. Certainly, this is our story. Our Lord Jesus is not unmoved by our situation. There's so many Catholics and Christians in our world today that I do believe they approach their faith, what we'd say, in a deist way. Another way to say it is the clockmaker theory. The idea that God created this world and he wound it up, got it started, and then let it go. He's not intimately involved in human affairs, nor does he care. And that's not true, according to the Good Samaritan. Our Lord is one who draws near to us. And we need to be reminded of that always. This is the God we serve. This is the God we love. We especially need to know that reality of who God is when we're going through trial. If we have a serious health crisis or an illness, if we have professional duties and tasks that are overwhelming, if we have family dynamics that seem impossible. God is not going on the other side of the road, staying at a distance. Jesus is one who draws near to us in our need. I think the people of Texas need to hear that right now. Those who have experienced the flooding and even personal loss, this past weekend has been one of many funerals down there. And it's not that God has abandoned them or forgotten them. Indeed, in their suffering, he draws near to them. And in a very different way, we as a parish need to hear that. Last weekend, at all of the weekend masses, it was announced that Father Jordan is on leave. And certainly that spurred probably a lot of questions in your hearts and your minds. Is he okay? Many of you know his dad's been very ill the last 3 months. Is his dad okay? How long is he going to be away? Who's going to fill in the process in the meantime? All of those are important questions. And I would say that it reveals your care for him and for all of us priests. Those are good questions. And for some of those questions, we'll have to remember that anytime a priest goes on leave for however long it is, it's important to respect the priest's privacy a bit. But with regards to how long, we don't know yet. How are we going to fill in the gaps? I'm working on it. But all of those valid and good questions, I do think the most important question that we should be asking is, How can I pray for him? And I think at least one of the answers to that very important question is, let's pray that this time is a time that is led by Jesus and that is saturated with his grace. And it's precisely what Father's heart and soul needs at this time. And with regards to us here at St. Louis de Montfort, the question is, are we going to be okay? No, the question is, how is God going to reveal his closeness to us? Because we know, whether you've been a member here for 30 or 40 years, or you've been a member for 5 days, God is active here. He heals hearts. He restores us. He transforms us. And he will continue to do so here. We are firmly convinced that the Lord Jesus is our Savior, our Redeemer. He is the divine physician who heals us. And he is a warrior who fights for his people and protects them. And he does so for us, and he will continue to operate and draw near to us in every situation. To kind of pull in another scene from the gospel, in a storm, he's in the boat, and that calms us in the midst of it. So he draws near to us in every circumstance, most especially here at the altar, in Holy Communion, his flesh and blood. He draws near to us by grace and gives us exactly what we need. And I can testify to that because I mentioned two weeks ago that you probably know, this past week I was on vacation. And I kind of was questioning God's timing, if you can imagine. And now that I'm back, I can say, the Lord drew near to me. He gave me precisely what I needed. Some rest, some recuperation, some prayer. I was with two good friends who are priests, who are phenomenal priests. I was with my parents. I was restored in the sense of eager to come back, to live my priesthood and to love you even more profoundly than ever. So the Lord has drawn near to me and he will continue to draw near to you. And again, what's beautiful is the questions that the lawyer, the scholar of the law asks, we get to ask and we get answers to with regards to, I know who God is now, a God who draws near to me. And when I draw near to him, I begin to resemble him. I begin to draw near to those who are in need as well. And in that process, I know precisely what it takes to inherit eternal life.